This Health Ranger Report Pandemic Podcast is brought to you by naturalnews.com for uncensored reporting and healthrangerstore.com for lab-tested preparedness supplies such as storable food, full-face medical masks, biostructured silver first aid gel, and iodine, only while supplies last. Pandemic.news update from March 3rd, a Tuesday. I think I've got the dates right. People are asking me, okay, we know it's broken containment in America. Where is it going to go in America? You know, there are already, I think, 12 states where it's been detected. And the answer of where is it going to go is, well, everywhere there's an airport or a road. So that's all. Just everywhere there's an airport, you're going to have infected people flying in. And everywhere there's a road, you're going to be infected people driving in. So I guess you're fine. You won't get infected as long as you don't have any roads near you or any airports within road distance. But if people can fly to where you are or drive to where you are, well, they're going to bring the virus to you and you're going to be exposed. Most Americans will be exposed over the next 2 years. Many will become infected, millions probably. You know, barring some great intervention, changes the equation somehow. Maybe everybody wises up and starts taking vitamin D. Maybe there are isolation orders across the country, a national emergency declared, all school canceled, you know, public events canceled, those kinds of things. That would slow the spread substantially. But that would also shut down society in a huge way. And it starts to raise the question of, so how do the banks run? How do the power plants run? Who shows up to do law enforcement? You know, those kinds of questions. Who drives the delivery trucks to deliver food into the quarantine zones? Pretty big questions, actually. And if you're wondering how long, let's say theoretically that the president declared a national emergency and decided that there's going to be medical martial law where everybody has to stay in their homes for a month. Just 30 days solid, break the cycle of the virus spreading. Everybody stays home for 30 days. Well, the food runs out in about 72 hours. The power grid goes down. You know, emergency responders, how would they be able to work if they're at home? And then the criminal element comes out, you know, the gangs come out, the murderers, the drug runners, the child kidnappers, all these people come out. And they just start terrorizing society, basically. So if everybody stays home, except the bad people who are opportunistic in moments of crisis like this, then society breaks down anyway. So you can't actually shut down all of society. So you have to do really kind of a partial type of shutdown. Oh, all non-essential companies and government bureaucrats and businesses and so on, schools, non-essential things are ordered shut down. But essential things, such as power plants and so on, they'll have a list, hospitals, you know, essential things must continue to operate. Well, okay, so you're going to continue to have the spread of the virus through those workers, especially hospital workers, doctors, and nurses, because this spreads during the asymptomatic incubation period. It's really just a question of how fast it moves through the population. It's called the velocity of transmissivity. This velocity determines how many days it takes for the number of infected people to double. Now, the R-naught value of the virus describes the total number of people that one person will infect, but the R-naught value does not describe the time required for that to take place. Well, the velocity of transmissivity refers to the time that it takes for the virus to double the number of people who are infected. And we haven't seen a lot of talk about that yet, but some estimates and some studies put that anywhere from, on the low side, 2.5 days to maybe 6 days on the high side. And I did some very early podcasts on this where I was estimating 3.5 days, you know, weeks ago, maybe a month ago. Let's take the best case scenario that this doubles every 7 days. It's actually faster than that, but let's just say it's 7 days for argument's sake. That means that if one person is infected today, then a week later it's two, a week later it's four, and then a week later it's eight. And then another week, you know, 4 weeks later, it's 16. So one infection becomes 16 in about a 4 week period, roughly speaking, if it doubles every 7 days. It actually doubles much faster than that. But if you have isolation in society, you might be able to cut that down substantially to where it only doubles once a month. And if it only doubles once a month, then you might be able to get enough quick treatment to those people to take that R0 value down below 1.0. You could at some point theoretically contain it, but only by shutting down most of society. And then you would have the big economic impacts. So if you shut down society, then how do people get paychecks? Well, you can't order companies nationwide to pay people who aren't working, because you'll bankrupt all the companies. And that wouldn't be a legal order anyway. You can't just order companies to pay people who are sitting at home not working. So that means all kinds of paychecks are going to stop. Well, and if paychecks stop, then given that most Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, how exactly will they function? How will they buy groceries? How will they buy medical supplies? How will they function at all under that scenario? And I think the answer is that a lot of families, maybe half of America, would find itself in a serious crisis at that moment, a serious crisis, because the American people are not prepared to live without paychecks. So then you'd have, well, people needing government assistance for food and medicine and all these things. Because, you know, America has lost, it seems, this idea of self-preparedness or self-reliance, and everybody now expects the government to save them. Then you have this massive crisis on FEMA and government responders, who are not only now deciding who gets the food and who gets the medicine and who gets the emergency response, but also what requirements might be placed on you in order for you to qualify. So it might be, oh, we see on these records that you own 2 shotguns. If you want emergency food from FEMA, you're going to have to give up those shotguns. So they can combine gun control with who gets the food. In other words, weaponizing the food supply. And of course, food is a weapon when it's centralized in the hands of the few. And that's part of the way governments have operated for a long time, is you weaponize the food supply. This is how various authoritarian regimes operate. They get foreign aid to bring in a bunch of food and a bunch of money, you know, in places like Somalia. None of that aid goes to the people. It goes to the corrupt leaders. And then the corrupt leaders weaponize those supplies by controlling them and handing them out only to those who support their corrupt regimes, while skimming off the top and selling them on the black market for huge profits, of course, things like that. So most foreign aid is really just corruption, bribery, kickbacks, pumping up corrupt regimes overseas, by the way. But the same thing can happen domestically. So if the federal government offers some kind of aid to your local government, let's say you live in California, well, you live under a corrupt, lawless system run by criminals. Criminals with names like, you know, Pelosi and Newsom and so on. And you think they're going to honestly distribute food and supplies to the rural towns where more conservatives live? No, of course not. They're going to use their control over those supplies as a weapon system against the people of California that they don't like. Now, the reason I say all this, and by the way, you should read pandemic.news and stay up to date on all this. The reason I say this is because if you don't want to be a slave living under their tyrannical control, the only way to avoid that is to get prepared with your own supplies to the point where you don't need the government to come save you or bail you out. And that's why preparedness is really one of the most patriotic things that you can do, because it's about making sure that you don't become a slave to a corrupt, broken system run by authoritarian tyrants who are on the take and really don't give a crap about you and your health and your safety. They just want to skim money and control you. And that's why part of my effort here, my motivation, is to teach you how to be more self-reliant. I've done this for years. You know, I invented the mini farm grow boxes. Food Rising is the name of it, Food Rising Grow Box, to help people grow more of their own food. And boy, those are life-saving right now. If you can grow medicine that has antiviral molecules naturally in various herbs and spices that you can grow. Now you can grow your own medicine. I'm going to shoot some videos here shortly about how to make your own colloidal silver, and very inexpensively. And because I produce colloidal silver on an industrial scale, commercially, I've learned quite a few things in doing that, things that translate into your own, you know, into advice that you can use, things that I've never heard anybody talk about how to make silver appropriately. What's the right way to make it to have good quality silver? I'm going to show you how to make a hydrogen peroxide iodine mixture for your essential oil nebulizer. I'm going to show you how to use colloidal silver to sterilize an N95 mask that, you know, topically provide an extra layer of defense against whatever you might be using the mask to defend against. I'm going to show you how to make your own surface cleaners, things like that. So this is part of what I do, is help you be self-empowered. And this is not just information. It's how-to videos of how to make your own, you know, hand sanitizer, for example. I'm going to do a whole segment on that as well. Anyway, that's what I'm into. I don't believe that centralized power or authority is healthy for human society. I believe in decentralization of power. I believe in empowering the people to be your own pharmacist, to be your own doctor, at least at a basic level, not for every emergency, but at least you can be your own first frontline healthcare responder. All you need is some knowledge and some know-how. I believe in you taking care of your own self-defense. If you don't yet have a firearm and know how to use it, then you're late, because I've been urging people to get up to speed on firearms for, I don't know, 10 years. And I've even talked about the skills and the specific weapons that are best for personal defense and things like that. This is the time to have them. So there are really a lot of important things that the average person needs to know and needs to have that they don't. And so they will become victims of the government. And they will be herded into FEMA camps or locked down in their own apartments and homes and in cities and suburbs across America. Or they'll end up in a hospital infected with 1,000 other people in basically what is a modern day first world quarantine death camp known as a hospital. I don't want you to find yourself in any of those situations. Those are not good. And that's why I record these podcasts, and that's why I share this information with you. In fact, I'm just about to wrap this one up, but I'm making a space. I got to set up some cameras for this, for a new series of the how-to videos, like some of the ones I just mentioned. The knowledge, I consider it common sense of how to make hand sanitizer. You know, but maybe that's just because I work in a lab and I'm working around all these different chemicals all the time, and I use pipettes all the time, and I understand, you know, the basics of microbiology and liquid concentrations, things like that. Turns out most people don't know how to make a hand sanitizer. So I'm just shocked that we live in a society where people are wildly incapable of self-care. You know, the average person doesn't want to know how to eat healthy. They'd rather take a drug. So you have high blood pressure, and they say, no problem, I'm taking a blood pressure drug. Oh, okay. You know, you could solve that by eating better foods. And they're like, I don't need to do that. My doctor said it doesn't matter what I eat, that this is genetic. Okay. All right. Well, your doctor's an idiot, and if you believe your doctor, you're a fool. But people don't want to hear that. You know, they're like, my doctor said I should take this drug and that drug and these 12 drugs, and then every time I feel depressed, I should take this other drug and then this statin drug. And then I'm like, okay. And then you wonder why your heart is failing, your muscles are failing, you can't remember anything. You can't even get an erection anymore. You're having trouble pooping and sleeping and peeing and staying awake. Okay. Yeah. That's because you're taking all these drugs. That's why they're destroying your health. Maybe you might consider eating healthier and you wouldn't need any of those drugs, probably, unless you're taking insulin. It's hard to replace insulin, but you can change your diet to use a lot less. I've seen people that eat ice cream and donuts and drink soda, and they control it with insulin. I mean, it's like suicide, man. Suicide. It's like, do you realize if you're taking insulin, you know, injecting yourself, that maybe you shouldn't eat donuts? Imagine that idea. Whoa, you mean your food has an impact on your your blood sugar? Oh my God. It's like an alien idea to most Americans. Yeah. I haven't had a donut in, I mean, 15 years, 20 years. I haven't had a soda in 25 years. What? How long has it been? I don't even know. Doesn't matter. Do I miss it? No, of course not. I have a nice, delicious superfood avocado smoothie every day. It's like dessert, but it's full of turmeric and flax seeds and coconut water and whey protein and goji berries and all kinds of things that keep me alive and healthy and young and completely off all medications, by the way. No vaccines, no meds, no recreational drugs, nothing. No alcohol. Don't need any of that stuff. People ask me, how can I get so much done? Because I don't take any drugs. I don't take prescription drugs. I don't drink alcohol. I don't use recreational drugs. I don't smoke. I do drink coffee occasionally now. When I'm hosting the InfoWars show, they've started giving me some of that InfoWars coffee. And if you think I'm overly hyperactive on the show, that's the reason why, because that coffee just, whoa, giving me a burst of insane mental focus. But I don't drink coffee on a normal day. That's just, I guess it's just an InfoWars thing now. Whatever. It's actually pretty good coffee. And I only need like 3 sips. That's all I take is like 3 or 4 sips. That's it. And boom, the whole show is like a rocket ship. It's crazy. I guess that's what happens when you don't drink coffee every day. Then it really, really kicks ass when you do drink it. But in any case, I'm getting off topic. Just wanted to tell you, get self-reliant, folks. You know, get up to speed on your skills. Try to safely and rationally get away from prescription drugs with the help of a qualified naturopath, you know, because a lot of those drugs you may not be able to get, and you don't want to quit them cold turkey, let's say. You want to transition off of them safely with knowledge. And in order to do that, you need to start that early before the pharmacy says, oh, we're out and everybody's out and there's no more coming because China's not making anymore and the shipments have stopped and so on and so forth. Yeah. Yeah. So get your pharmaceuticals in advance. If you need insulin, start making plans now or start making plans to eat healthier. Some people have been able to get off insulin by changing their food intake. It's not a horrible idea. Not everybody, but some people have. I've seen it. I've documented it. I've interviewed people who did that. So I know what I'm talking about. But thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, pandemic.news. Stay informed. And you might just save your own life as this thing goes ballistic. Take care. When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products and gel first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.